Lord, what a wonder it must have been for those shepherds to come to see you, Lord Jesus, lying in that manger, to have all that the angels had told them come true. And yet, we are so grateful, so thankful, so in awe, because we know that we know why you came. We know what you did, and we know what you have done in our own lives by not only, again, removing the debt of sin that ensnared us, but again, by giving us new life and new hope. Oh, Lord Jesus, we praise you this evening for that. We sing your praises, not only with the hope of a forever with you, but with the expectation, just as Israel was waiting for your coming, we wait for your second coming, knowing that you are indeed coming back. And we just pray this in your precious and wondrous name. Amen. You may be seated.
The scripture reading for tonight is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And if you take your copies of the scriptures, and again, this is a beautiful text. And as we hear this tonight, as God works in our hearts, let these very words of the living God ring true for us tonight. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let's pray. Father, tonight as we gather as your church, we gather because of you, Jesus. And as we hear your words spoken tonight, Father, these words are your words, the words of eternal life, words of peace and hope and joy. Father, would you, Holy Spirit, as you guide us through this time, would the truth, the beauty and the majesty, the splendor of who you are, Lord Jesus, be evident. And may your name be praised in this preaching of your word. We thank you in your name alone, Jesus, we pray. Amen. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Steve Thompson. I serve as one of the elders here at La Crescent Evangelical Free Church. It's a privilege to welcome you all here who have gathered tonight, and for those who have joined us via the streaming online, welcome as well. And Merry Christmas to everybody. And the title of tonight's message is Jesus, God's Best Gift Ever. And think about this. Whether you've been at a birthday party or a wedding anniversary, but for sure on Christmas morning, you've probably heard this and said it yourself. This is the best gift ever. Well, Scripture takes that kind of joy and celebration and points us to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the inexpressibly best gift ever from God, coming to be with us as Savior and Lord. So let's take a look once again here at Luke chapter 2, verse 11 in our text. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And also, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. So what is our reason for saying Jesus is God's best gift ever and really meaning it? So here's 3 points that I want us to take away from this message tonight on this Christmas Eve that'll help us answer that question. Jesus is God's best gift ever because in him there is perfect love, he is the perfect sacrifice, and he makes the eternal difference. And one of the pillars of the good news of the gospel is that God's gift of love in Christ is perfect and unconditional. The perfect love of Jesus is patient and kind. It's not arrogant or rude. Jesus' perfect love surpasses knowledge. The breadth, length, height, and depth of that kind of love is immeasurable and immense. In Christ, God's perfect love casts out fear. And let's take a look at that here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Year 2020 has been very difficult for all of us. Peace, love, and joy have seemed non-existent. Fear and anxiety have been all too real. And so on this Christmas Eve, I ask you, what is your greatest fear? And I ask that question because it's important to realize that our thoughts, our concerns, and our anxieties are all influenced by our fears. And fear has to do with not trusting God. Think about that. Things that worry us and keep us up at night are things we don't trust God with. And fear is like a thief. It robs us of joy. Fear steals our peace and hope. And I have a confession to make. And here it is. I fear the things that can tear my world apart more than I fear God who holds all things together. Think about that. Can you relate to me? Now, the very reason we're gathered to celebrate the advent of God himself in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, is that there's good news of great joy. In fact, on that night long ago, as Scripture says, according to the text, an angel of the Lord told the shepherds to fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. So in essence, the overarching message was and always will be that perfect love has arrived. God's inexpressible gift is here. His name is Jesus. So don't be afraid. Come, believe, and see. And that message is as good today as it was then. And if you're in Christ, as you're listening to this message tonight, if you're secure in Christ, God can't love you more or less. His love is perfect. And that's the kind of love like no other. And one thing to remember, though, about that perfect love is that God's gift of love in Christ involved a perfect sacrifice. And that brings us to our second point. We need to realize that God in Christ made the ultimate, once for all, perfect sacrifice. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, he sacrificed his everything for our nothing to bring sinners like you and me to God. Here's what Scripture says about that in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Passover is a Jewish festival celebrating God delivering his people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt. And that deliverance was signified by slaughtering a perfect lamb and placing its blood on the doorposts of the Israelites' home. And when the angel of death saw the blood, he would pass over. As I was preparing this message, I was reading scripture, and it said that this family's lamb would have been in the home for 4 days. Now think about that. There would have been an opportunity to feed the lamb, to pet it, to care for it. Maybe even the children would have given it a name. And the children would have asked their father, when he slaughtered the lamb, "Why, Daddy?" And the father would explain that the lamb's sacrificial death meant that the firstborn son didn't have to die. The lamb was a substitute. The Heavenly Father, Father God Himself, according to Scripture, appointed the slaughter of His only Son, Jesus, the Lamb of God. And we might ask, why, Heavenly Father? And the Father would explain that the Lamb of God's perfect sacrifice means not one of His chosen people will die. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, black or white, slave or free. Trusting that Jesus' blood availed for you means that sin and death have no power over you. The Lamb of God is your substitute. He died in your place. That's the good news message of the cross. That's the gospel. And so I ask you tonight, have you put your trust in Jesus as God's perfect sacrifice? If not, now is the time to receive God's inexpressible gift in Christ through faith alone, by His grace alone. And Charles Spurgeon, a well-known preacher in the 1800s, said it well about this inexpressible gift, this gift of salvation in Christ. Here's what he says: trust your soul with Him, Jesus, and He will bring you to His Father's right hand in glory everlasting. Now, if you have placed your faith in Jesus, let's celebrate Him. As Scripture says, it's the way, the truth, and the life. Let's take great joy in the fact that Jesus' sacrifice means He ransomed us for God. Think about that. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. And in fact, on this Christmas Eve, I want us to contemplate how much God did in order to give us the best gift ever in Jesus as the perfect sacrifice. In essence, God gave His everything in Christ for our nothing. God gave His everything in Christ for our nothing. And I want to pause the sermon right here. And let's just take a moment to silently meditate on this staggering truth that is reflected in the gospel, that God gave His everything in Christ for our nothing. Let's take just a moment of silence to reflect on that truth. Amen. Jesus, the Lamb of God, Emmanuel, God with us, condescended, came down from glory, from heaven, to rescue people like us from sin. Truly, Jesus is the greatest gift ever because in his coming he made an eternal difference. And that's our final point here. Think about this. God in Christ makes an eternal difference in people's lives, people like you and me. And that eternal difference is found only in receiving, trusting, and believing Jesus. And this happens because a person's life is transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says that instead of a child of wrath, the one who trusts in Christ, receiving that gift of salvation through faith alone, becomes a child of God. What an eternal difference indeed. Once an enemy of God, condemned to an everlasting hell, now in Christ, a son or a daughter of God, assured of everlasting life. Here's what 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says about that. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. My dad, who passed away in June of this year, spent several years of his retirement volunteering in a bread ministry. And he would take bread and pastries to people out in the rural areas of North Carolina. And these people were homeless, or they were in poverty, drug addicts. But along with giving food that nourished the physical body, Dad gave food that nourished the spiritual body. He endeavored to make an eternal difference in the name of Christ by sharing the good news message of the cross. And one of the quotes that he had that I really treasure to this day, he would say this: sharing the love of Christ is what life is all about. Sharing the love of Christ is what life is all about. And my dad's life was a reflection of Christ, a testimony for God's glory. And much like Jesus, he had compassion on the least, the lost, and the lonely. And so in a lowly bread ministry, in an out-of-the-way place in rural North Carolina, many prayers were answered for the provision of physical food and spiritual food as well. Yes, the gift of God in Christ truly does make an eternal difference. And I want to start wrapping this message up now by asking a question. If we received the best gift ever, would we keep it a secret? No, we'd share it with others. We'd share it with others. And think about this. Jesus, God's inexpressibly best gift ever, is worthy of all people knowing. Not just knowing about him, but knowing him personally. And so what if we took seriously my dad's exhortation to share the love of Christ as a way of life? What difference would that make on a sin-sick, weary world? And so in closing, as much as ever, the good news message of the cross is worth sharing. And I would encourage us, exhort us, to have a recklessly holy abandon to tell others of the one who calls people out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Let's share the truth that Jesus is perfect love. He is the perfect sacrifice. He makes the eternal difference. He is God's best gift ever. Let's pray.